K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw.
Whiskey, Delta Whiskey monitoring.
K-8-D-A-C. Repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
Good evening, Dave. KCBOA.
Hello there, Mr. Rick. Yeah, I'm just playing with the radio here. I had some stuff I wanted to do. I've got a MFJ adjustable regulated power supply. I think I got that at one of the sales from the club or something. And I had noticed I had my two ICOM radios on it. Worked fine. But every time you turn the damn radio off, it wouldn't turn off. I actually had to turn the power off, turn it back on, then turn the radio off. So I'm not sure what was going on. I started reading about this particular power supply, and it says pretty dirty as far as the 12 volts coming out. So what I did is I put a couple extra binding posts on my Kenwood supply. I got a 25 or 30 amp Kenwood supply. And I hooked them both up there, and I haven't had a problem with that. So that's what I did today. I actually put the two binding posts on there for one power supply today to try and alleviate that problem.
Are both power supplies linear, or is one of them, a lot of the MFJs were switching power supplies?
Yeah, well, I think the MFJ is just dirty. I think the signal coming off is dirty. I should get a scope and put a scope on and look at it. But I was reading some stuff on it, and it's funny that particular power supply for a 30 amp supply, and it's got just a regular two wire plug on it rather than a three and stuff. There was a whole mess of comments on YouTube that. Against that particular supply.
Okay, yeah, I bought, I don't know if it's a 25 or 30 amp MFJ I've got. It's a switcher. And some of the complaints on it was that the signal wasn't clean and the filtering wasn't the best. But I know on certain models they had cleaned some of that stuff up. But, yeah. So I know that my Ashtron's a linear, and the MFJ I got's a switcher. So both are a little different.
this particular supply is not a switcher. It's a regulated DC power supply. It's not the switcher. And the one I put the thing on, I got on the other out of Kenwood, the one, and that's working okay. It's worked. I originally put it just on the 7610 to make sure that that would work, and that was working okay. So I put a couple of binding posts on the back end so I could get another two more connectors on, and I got my both the ICOMs on that particular on the Kenwood one, and now and it seems to be working.
Good. Maybe it needs a little improvement on the filter capacitors on that MFJ.
Yeah, well, and actually on the YouTube video, the guy goes through a couple of things. He does put some more filtering on and stuff and to clean it up, and that's probably what needs to be done. I just have to find time to do it and put it on the bench. I really don't need it now. I've got one desk has got my two my ICOMs on it. Those are all on a Kenwood, and then the other desk had the Elecraft and a Kenwood, and also the Calstar tuner on, and that's actually on MFJ. But I do have another 30 amp supply. I've got a 30 amp switcher that I could put it over there. They don't recommend putting a switcher on the Calstar tuner. But I had one on before, and I didn't have a problem, so I may just do that, put it on the switcher, and then take this other one and maybe try and clean it up.
Well, it never hurts to have a spare, does it?
It sure doesn't. Then, like I say, I got another 30 amp, 25 or 30 amp, I think it's 30 amp setting. It's a 30 amp, but that's a 30 amp short term. It's not for, if you put 30 amps on it all the time, it's not great. It's basically a 25 amp, but that would take care of that the other two radios without a problem. And like I say, it's always, like you say, it's always nice to have a spare.
That's for sure. Yeah, I've got a 35 amp Astron, but they don't recommend loading it over 25 amps.
Yeah, well, I've got an old Tentec. I'm not sure. I don't know where the heck it is. I was looking for it today. It must be on a shelf someplace around here. But I had it running on my on everything a while back, and that was a 25 amp switcher, and it was real funny. I was on a net one night, on the digital net, and all of a sudden I lost all power. So I swapped over to another power supply, and I went on, and I started looking at this one here. I thought maybe, the Tentec, I thought I blew a fuse or something. And I pulled the cover off, I started checking, and I had 12 volts. I didn't have a problem. It was I had 12 volts there. But there was it wasn't getting 12 volts to my binding post outside, so I'm not sure. I wasn't sure what was going on. I started checking out, and there was a little thermistor in there, and the thermistor must have went bad, and I started having problems. I replaced that, and everything was okay. Though. So actually, I've got another backup someplace. I'm probably going to be self-sufficient. We got another backup someplace that was weird, had a weird thing go on. So I got strange things going on in the shack there, Rick. KCAVOA-WADW.
You know, Dave, that happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. I think that's what they call live and learn. And that's as we go on through life, we definitely learn a lot of different things, and that's one of them. But you never know what you're going to come across.
Yeah, you're right there. I got another project going on. I'm gonna try and use the software-defined radio that I have. I'm gonna try and use it as a a display for my on my either my Kenwood or my Elecraft for the what am I trying to say? Anyway, you know what I mean. Anyway, there's a switch that you get that you can switch over the antennas for the specifically for the SDR. So I got one. I'm coming about $40 or something. I'm gonna try that out. See how that works.
Okay, I'm assuming it's an automatic switch, not a manual switch.
Yeah, Roger. It's automatic switch. And what I'll probably do is put a delay on the push to talk, so you swap it over and then delay it going in, and to make sure you don't have to put RF back in the software defined radio.
That'd be wise to have a delay on it so it doesn't switch right away. Yeah, so you get your waterfall and get yourself a nice little upgrade there.
Yeah, well, and then what I'm actually thinking about doing I'm not sure if I'm going to, but thinking about maybe getting rid of some of the radios that I have, and I'm not sure which way to go. I know that I really do like my Kenwood and my Elecraft. Both have worked well, but this 7610 for contesting is dynamite. That works really great. And actually, the radio I'm on right now, I'm on the ICOM 9700. I really don't need that much radio either. I might get rid of that one, so we'll see how see how everything goes. But the two ICOMs are high price tag radios, but I like them, but really don't need them.
Well, you have to sort that out, and I'm sure you'll come to the right decision.
Yeah, actually, that radio that Ron bought, that 7600, he got it for a good price, and that's a nice radio. That does almost everything that the 7610 does. 7610 with the two receivers, I could do a little bit more with that, but I really haven't used it a whole lot. I guess a couple of instances during contest, I had it on one band, and I was working one band. I was able to go and have the waterfall running on the other one and watch for contacts, and I'd be able to go back and forth. But getting too old for this stuff. It's just like contesting. I used to really love doing all the contests. I know this weekend is the ARRL DS contest phone, and I just cannot do phone anymore. I just my hearing's just not great enough to do that. I know last week I worked North Carolina QSO party. I worked a couple phone contacts, but well, it's getting harder and harder to do that. But I don't have a problem with CW.
Well, being in the shop all those years doesn't help you out none, and when you can't hear certain tones and things like that, then you have to resort to what you can do. And so working digital and working CW, if that works out best for you, then that works out best. So that's all there is to that. Ron will be getting on here probably in a couple minutes.
Yeah, he's probably walking to his car right now. Yeah, the I spent 18 months in a foundry. I think that's part of the... My other job, in my regular job, most of the time I was there, unless I had to go out in the plant, and that wasn't really, really bad. I was in an office environment with the... being in the lab and that. I did spend some time in and out, you know, I had to go in and out of the plant, but I spent 18 months in the foundry, and that was noisy. It was bad. I think that did the... That did away with the hearing, so we'll take a little standby here and see if Ron jumps in there. He's probably walking to his van right now.
Yeah, you have to give him a few more minutes, I think, Dave. Depends who's there at work, whether or not he has to lock up or someone else is there and they lock up. So sometimes it's about 5:10 or so before he jumps on. KCBUA.
KCYVF.
There he is. Hello there, Ron. KCYVF and a group, WADW. How's Ron today?
just got in the vehicle, just turned the radio on, so I heard Rick talking. So I said, well, somebody's looking for me. Out of work, so that's a good thing. I was talking yesterday, my grandson spent 2 days in the ICU down in Ann Arbor. Came back yesterday, but he was not in doing well today, but he has improved, so that's a good thing.
Did they make any headway with him, Ron?
Did they get anything figured out?
TCBOA.
No, they did not. The doctors at U of M are stumped. We stumped the doctors in Saginaw Covenant. They are now stumped at U of M. Their staff of neurology and cardiology and everybody else that have looked at them have no clue. They don't even know. At one point on the other night, if he would not have been in the ICU where he had an IV already in him with the medications, he would not have made it. If that had happened here in at home, or if that ever happens again, you could not make it to the hospital in time no matter what you did. So it was a good point and a bad point. They did get the final data. They've never been able to observe the condition live. They got video feed of it, plus they got all of the hookup data from his chest and head and everything else. So they got the data. They just don't know what it is or what to do.
Yeah, that don't sound good. Well, you know, I think, and they probably don't know this either. I think you mentioned yesterday, this or a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, that possibly the doctors here says possibly he'll grow all of it, but it doesn't sound like if they don't know what's going on. I guess that's probably a hard call on that one. Over to you there, Rick.
It is a difficult thing. You know, we had the one son there that was having seizures and so forth, and the wife was on the way to take him down to Detroit Children's Hospital, and she ended up pulling over by Genesis because he was having a seizure, and the sheriff deputy happened to pull in there and escorted her on up to Genesis and that, and Genesis says, well, we don't do peds here. We got him stabilized. We're going to have to send him over to Hurley. And while he was in Hurley, you know, they said, well, he's a diabetic, this and that and everything else, and so forth. And so he was being treated for diabetes. He had been in ICU, et cetera. And all of a sudden, we had an endocrinologist come through with a bunch of students. Let me take a break. So as he's coming through with the students, he says, do you mind if I look at his chart? And he picks up his chart and looks at his chart, and he hands the chart to all the students, and he says to them, do you see anything wrong there? After they all looked at it, he said, did you see anything wrong there? He goes, you see this number here? This number's not right. This number's not, he's not a diabetic. His cortisol is low. And so they put him on cortisol, and sure enough, that took care of everything. And about a year later, his adrenal gland caught up, was able to produce enough cortisol on its own, and he was not needed to be on any medication anymore. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We've seen multiple doctors, both Saginaw and Ann Arbor now, and the main doctor he was supposed to have on Monday have a follow-up visit, and that's when he had an episode in the doctor's office, standing right in front of the doctor, and the doctor was just totally flabbergasted. He said, I've never seen one of these lies before, or never seen anything like this before. And They said, you're going to have to go to the ER because we don't have anything here to treat him. So they told him, says, well, if he has another episode while he's in the vehicle, call 911. And it's kind of like, well, by the time we pull over, call 911, they get an ambulance, we could be there. So they just, he did. So they just kept on driving. So, today wasn't good either. He's been running a high fever. He was 103 degrees this morning. They talked to the doctor again and did a teleconference with the doctor again. And his speech was slurred. He couldn't feel his feet. His arms and legs hurt. So the wife went over this morning because, of course, daughter was scared, you know, what's going on, and nobody can tell him. So, yeah, we need another doctor, another face in here like us. We'll look at something so many times and look right over it and not see what's wrong. And, again, they need a fresh face again to look at this and where to go. You know, we supposedly U of M is the best hospital in Michigan, and they're stumped. So where do we go from here with this? So, and they said at one point that he would grow out of it, but it doesn't look like it either. So over to you, Dave.
Yeah, okay, real good. Oh, I got to get out here. I got, I've been playing around. I tell Rick, I was having a power, I've got a power supply problem, I think. And I've got everything on the one station here that my two icons switched over to a switching power supply that seems to be working really, really good, but it had just the two connections on it, so I didn't have room for two radios, so I put a couple binding posts on the back end now, and I got everything on one, so probably don't want to transfer everything at one time. It's 25 amp, but well, it might work. But anyway, I did that once with the other one. I had a 20 amp supply, and I was on HF, and I was on doing digital, and I went and keyed up on the Kenwood, and the power supply went out. Just too much on there. Anyway, I got to get out of here. I got a couple things I get done. I got a mess in my shack, so I got to sort of clean it up so I can get out of here. KCAYVF and KCAVOA is WADW. Go ahead, Rick. Take it.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good luck cleaning up your mess there. Ron, what is your grandson's first name? We get him back down to prayer list.
Leland, L-E-L-A-N-D. Yeah, I know, Dave, same thing with me. I had three power supplies. I have all of my smaller radios, my 2 meter, 440, 220 on a power supply, and then I had my HF rigs on two different power supplies. So I have them all on one now. I redid the shack and put all three radios. I got the ICOM that I picked up in the shack as well. I just didn't want that one sitting in a box and only see it twice a year, so I figured I'd pull it out. And yeah, luckily I got all three radios on one power supply, but it's a 35 amp Astron power supply, so, and I can't transmit all at the same time because there is only one antenna, so I have to switch the antenna from radio to radio, but I do have to make sure that any radios I have on get shut off when I switch radios because it overloads them. So even though the antenna is supposed to isolate it, the antenna switch was, I just bought a new Alpha Delta switch, four-way switch from a two-way. Boy, those have gone up. But it's still, yeah, I tried it just on low power and it overloads the front end on whatever radio's on, so I gotta make sure only switch to the radio I want to use and turn all the other radios off that I'm not using, and then I'm okay there. But yep, headed home tonight. The wife went to go get pizza. She wanted pizza. It was her birthday Monday. She wanted pizza, and She didn't get it because we had to go to Ann Arbor. And by the time we got back home, it was almost midnight, so I got to bed about 12:30 by the time we got back. So, and then yesterday she spent it at the kid's house, so she went to go get pizza tonight. Over to you, Rick.
Oh, very good. We had pizza the other night. Once a week's plenty for me. I had two pieces of it, and the wife ate the rest. She managed to take the rest of it to lunch, so that worked out for her. So that's enough for me. Once a week's good.
Well, we only have it maybe once a month. But my son-in-law works for Cable Landscaping during the day, and he's now the new night manager at Good Times Pizza at night. He went back, and he used to work there when he was 18, 19 years old, delivery. Well, he picked up a second job. He's back there working, delivering pizzas, and now they made him kind of the night manager, so he's working tonight. There he's working like three nights a week, something like that. But he didn't have really a night manager, and he knows what he's doing, always has. So he's corrected a lot of problems, and he's created a new pizza. I'm not sure if they got it on the menu yet, but he made a suggestion, so he made one for the boss. The boss had it for a Super Bowl party. Everybody loved it. So now they're tweaking the recipe to get the cheese right, the crust right, how they want it. And if for every pizza they sell of one of those, he gets a commission off of it. So it's a jalapeno popper pizza. So you got the crust, it's got cream cheese, it's got cheese on the top, it's got jalapenos, it's got bacon. And they're just trying to tweak the recipe to get it so they can consistently produce it. And he said that one of the problems is each jar of jalapenos that they get is different. So one may be a little milder, or one may be a little hotter than the next one, just based on the jar of peppers that they get. KC8YVF.
Well, that's good. I'm assuming he's working at the Green Acres one. There's that and the Midland one that I know of. So, that's a good place. That's where we get our pizza from.
Yeah, he's working up at Green Acres. So, we've been getting them there for a while now. Again, we've switched from place to place. We used to go to Papa John's, and then things changed. We went to Jets for a while, and now we're back over to Good Times. So, kind of wherever we can get it. Still the best place, I like the pizza. There's a gas station out by Benny's out on M13 down where the kids live. About a mile or so north of their house, have the best dang pizza. I would go get them from there, but it's just a long drive to go get a pizza. And I keep telling them about work and at work about it, and they said, "Well, when are you going to bring one in?" I said, "Well, I can't, because to go get it, for me to leave work, to drive down there to get the pizza and come back, I only get a half-hour lunch break. It would take me close to an hour to get down there and back, so you'll have to just stop by and get one on your own, I guess."
Yeah, that's, I've had pizza from down there before, too, and unfortunately, I don't think it's always consistent, so I think it matters who's cooking down there as far as what you're getting there, too. There's another good little place over there on Fort Road and Moore. There's a place that makes pizza over there in Bridgeport. It's supposed to be pretty good. I know the boy loves it there. He goes and gets pizza there for AIS once in a while.
Well, the guy that usually makes it is, I think, my son-in-law Kevin knows the owner. So it's usually, I think it's him that makes the pizzas for him. And we've had it for several birthday parties for the grandkids. It's just easy to do, so in close. So he'll let him come down, he'll call him up and say, "Hey, here's what I need." And then he said, "Hey, if you need more, you know, order what you need, and when you're done with your party tomorrow or whatever, come down and settle up with me." So he'll run down and get them, come back, and call back up, "Hey, I need another pepperoni or whatever." And then, like you said, he lets him basically carry a tab on it to the end of the day or the next day, whatever, he goes back up. But, yeah, they've always had real good pizza for every party that we had. But, yeah, like you said, it depends on who's making them. And I think it's, like you said, it's the owner typically, the auditor's one person that usually makes them. So they've been pretty consistent for at least the parties.
Yeah, you know, probably is 20 years ago since the last time I've been in there. And used to, if we're down that way for work, we'd stop in there and get a pizza.
Yeah, there's a new owner, guy that took it over, I'm going to say probably 10 years ago? Probably 10. I don't know if it was longer than that, but maybe 10 years ago somebody else took it over. But, yeah, it's been pretty good. But, yeah, we'll do that tonight. And I told my wife we got a bunch of salad, lettuce and tomatoes and all this because we did a Mexican dinner for my wife on Sunday. So we have all kinds of lettuce and fixings for that went along with that dinner we got at home. So I said, we got to make up a salad tonight. I got like 5 heads of romaine and 2 heads of regular iceberg lettuce sitting at the house. It's going to go to waste if we don't start eating it.
There you go. Make yourself up a taco salad or something then, and it's a good way of using it. Cook some chicken up, chicken salad. I think that's what the wife's doing tonight. I've got to get going here. I've got a meeting I'm going to head off to in about 10 minutes. And you have a good night, and I'll be praying for Leland. And hopefully he gets on the mend, and hopefully they can figure out what this is. That's not fun going through anything like this. So, 73, KCYVF, KCBOA.
Just a quick one, Rick. Did you see the email I sent out on the Winlink stuff?
I seen an email. I have not read it all the way. I've been more active on the text than I have been on the email. But I did see that you had an email out there.
Repeater Saginaw.
All right, just look it over. Jeff came back and said, well, also consider the Kush craft. He said AR or two, but I didn't put that on the list just because it was more money and less gain. So, and I sent kind of a follow-up to the email, too, so when you get a chance, take a look at it. So, all right, have a good night. We'll talk to you later. 73, KC8YVF.
Yeah, have a good night there on KCVOA.
Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
Kilo, Fox Tri-Di, Delta Charlie Zulu.
KADAC, repeater Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Charlie Zulu. CQ, can anybody hear this little radio?
Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw.